Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Beth.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning. 300,000 subscribers. We did
Slam.
It, everybody.
Slam.
We don't. We still don't. We just need some party poppers or like party hats in the office, don't we? Because we always reach these milestones and we think we should have done. Oh, it's too late.
At least we remembered to mention it this time. The last time we forgot.
Yeah, we did forget.
Was it... Where was it? I can't remember if it was either one of the two other ventures I've done with you.
Yes.
One of them wasn't ours. It was just we were employed there. Mm-hmm. Or it may have just been when I was at university. But at some point in my life, we wanted party poppers for one occasion and ended up with a massive bag of party poppers
that we had to... That sounds familiar.
Sounds like us.
That sounds like a Vidiot's thing,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, I think we had an endless supply of them.
Yeah, maybe someone sent them in or something.
Maybe. I think we needed them for one gag. Mm. And then we had this bag of them that we were just always available. Mm. That's what we need now.
Yeah, we do. Kat sent in that box of party supplies in the Tatterpeel. Mm. Not last year, but the year before.
We had hats and balloons,
and we burned through them all at the Christmas party that year.
Yeah.
And then every time I go back to that box and think, there must be party stuff in there, and there's nothing.
We've used it all.
Anyway, we've hit 300,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you so much to everybody who's supported us over the years, getting us to that point, including the people who work here, the people who have worked here, our wonderful freelancer family, the Cultaholic boys, girls, and others, and you lot as well, listening to this and watching this right now. You. We're pointing at you. Thank you. It's a huge milestone, and we look forward to hitting 6 million subscribers.
Yeah, that's the next goal.
In just a couple of months' time. Yeah. It's really like we're really on the upward trend now. It's going really high, really fast.
I mean, you say that. We're well over 1,000 patrons now, and we did say that I think at 2,000 patrons, we would put on Billy Fest.
We need to check that milestone because I can't remember what it was, but it's there somewhere in the small print.
Yeah. We didn't specify what scale Billy Fest is on, but it would be some kind of live command meters thing. But it might be a shed for 3 hours.
Yes, it might be
somewhere.
The Whitley Bay Caravan Park.
Yeah.
The dream.
We'll go back there. So
we got COVID from there last time.
Most of us did get COVID, yes. But there's no guarantee that you'll get COVID as well. So don't get your hopes up.
It's a Whitley Bay Caravan Park.
I can't promise that it'll be COVID.
In lieu of Billy Fest, though, there isn't any sort of organized official gathering. But if you see us at Insomnia I-72 next weekend,
bring a party popper.
You will not be able to bring gunpowder into the convention.
You can bring a party popper.
Maybe not.
I don't know. That feels like a...
Okay, party hat.
Party hat. Yeah, but not too spiky.
No.
Because that's also a weapon.
No.
Yeah.
But if you see us, say hello, because we will be there on the Friday and the Saturday.
Yes.
So pop by. We'll be shooting some stuff and just wandering around.
And we will be celebrating 300,000 at some point soon.
Yes.
Keep an eye out for
that. In an official capacity on the channel.
Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that.
It's in the planning stages. We're working on it. Hopefully won't be too long, but we will bring that to you soon. Some of you have a vague idea of what it is, but it'll be exciting. We hope you enjoy it. Well, shall we get on with the actual podcast, which is to say we are sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you go and support us there, you get access to all sorts of stuff. You can submit questions for this podcast. You get early access to weirdest and worst games ever and exclusive access to episodes of Rules Boss and Main Menu. Very exciting indeed. patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Triplejump is our website. That's where you can find links to literally everything that we do. Twitch, Discord, if you want a cameo from us as well. Triplejumpshop.com is where you can buy some merchandise.
Yes.
We're all rocking the old merchandise.
Yeah.
this week.
Problem is, I keep the new stuff at the office. So when I'm getting dressed in the morning in my wardrobe, I'm like, oh, yeah, is it work? So I have to put something else on.
Yeah. How embarrassing. Look at this guy with his old merch. Yeah?
Possibly.
I think the hoodie still is, isn't it?
Not sure.
Sports Time jacket is. That's this thing.
Ditto. But there is new merch. Yeah. Look at the website or the shop. TripleJumpShop.com.
TripleJumpShop.com. Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump once again. A few things out this week. After Dark released for patrons on Monday. That's our bonus podcast. There was a sleepover stream this week as well, a week early, because obviously we're at Insomnia next week, so we can't actually do one.
Come find us at Insomnia next week.
There was a big video what came out this week. Weren't there?
Yeah.
Speaking of After Dark, James Jenkins has done a special video called How Dark Souls' Design Influenced Everything. It's part of a new format he's trialing called Game Changers.
Yes.
About various games that changed the industry in various ways and set some precedents and set trends and things like that. So go and have a look at that. It's very exciting. It's very good.
Yes.
And it's well worth a look.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's two things I love: Dark Souls and videos by James Jenkins. And you should all go and support it and give it a watch. It's really, really good, really interesting, super in-depth. And James did a fantastic job on the channel right now.
Right now.
Go watch it. Mm. Shall we begin with question one?
Well, it seems like a very good place to start, doesn't
it? I'm blasted by heat. Do you mind if I turn it down or off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've just taken
my hoodie off.
So you're going to get cold.
Then I'll get
now.
Cold. Hey, I'll put it back on.
You let me know. I'll put it back on. Everyone will hear it go beep, beep, and we'll know it's back on.
Okay. We've got a question from Chip Thompson's Thumbs. Chris Thompson's Thumbs. He says, "Hiya, Bap. What are your thoughts on this Gamergate 2 nonsense? Are you worried about white men being replaced as the default protagonist of games 2? Or are you, like myself, just tired of these giant man babies? Much love, Chip and or Chris." I wasn't aware this was being referred to as Gamergate 2, but
they're calling it Gamergate 2.
Oh, okay.
Imagine wanting to brand yourself
the
like
men
that.
That are doing this are calling it Gamergate 2.
Yeah, we want to call this Gamergate 2. Okay, great.
The racist.
I was aware, though, that this was happening. So here's some context from TheVerge.com. A group of gamers has mobilized a harassment campaign against a story consultant company, Sweet Baby, or Sweet Baby Inc., you may have heard of it referred to as, in protest of what they see as forced diversity in gaming. The Neo Gamergate fervor surrounding Sweet Baby started with a Brazilian Steam user by the name of Cabrutus. In January, he created a Steam curation page called Sweet Baby Inc. Detected, SBID, which the page's description explains is a, quote, tracker for games involved with Sweet Baby Inc. According to an interview with Cabrutus in Geeks and Gamers, he believes Sweet Baby is responsible for forcing political agendas and DEI, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion, into their games. Cabrutus believes that any diverse characters or stories in Sweet Baby games are the result of its employees exerting pressure on developers to make additions or changes they might not otherwise make.
Boo! Shut up!
Boo! Here's a quote from him. I started noticing patterns in some games, like ugly women and male characters being weakened to make female ones look stronger.
How do you know they're being weakened? You don't know what their default state is.
Well, he's about to give an example.
Okay.
But it's a good example because he gets it wrong. Cabruta said in Geeks and Gamers, the game that brought his attention to Sweet Baby was God of War Ragnarok. Right, God of War Ragnarok, the second of the new God of War games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quote, I think anyone who played God of War 3 would find it really weird when Kratos decides to spare Thor and says, we must be better. That simply didn't fit the character. God of War 3. People don't call it that, do they?
The original God of War. The original trilogy, yeah, right?
No, he's not.
Wasn't
he knows.
In the original
he's talking
trilogy.
About
he's
God
talking
of War
about Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Yeah, I know he is, but he's
but
saying
he's
that he's talking about the
character. He's a stupid man.
Yeah, I agree he's a stupid man, but he's referring to the original trilogy as the character of Kratos there compared to now.
Right.
He's been weakened in the new games.
He's not been weakened.
So you know how most people would consider that growth? And that's a weakness now.
I get the quote now. Yeah, so he's saying if you played the original God of War 3 and the thing that happened in Ragnarok happened in God of War 3.
Growth,
would have been crossed. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still a bad point.
Yeah. I thought he was just saying
he's still stupid.
That when people played Ragnarok, that what he did didn't fit his character. Anyway, the last bit here. The result has been a wave of bigoted harassment targeting marginalized developers, journalists, and gamers. On social media, the employees of Sweet Baby are subject to a deluge of death threats. Developers who've spoken out in support of Sweet Baby are faced with similar treatment, with several making their accounts private in an attempt to stem the tide of abuse. Journalists reporting on the story have become subject of the same harassment they're covering, and the resulting frenzy has been amplified by major actors in right-wing media, including libs of TikTok.
She is genuinely one of the worst people on the planet.
Matt Walsh, Ian Miles Chong, not sure who that is, and Elon Musk. The things they say in our inboxes is the most evil stuff you've ever seen in your life, said David Bedard, the co-founder of and COO of Sweet Baby, in an interview with The Verge.
Ashton, would you like to go off?
I'm gonna try and not be annoyed because I'm angry, and if I get angry, I won't say my point well enough. I just want to, before I start, I'd just like to tell you about all the games that come out this year that involve a white male protagonist that you can play now.
That's what I was going to do.
Here they are. Apollo Justice, Ace, whatever, Attorney Trilogy, Power World, you can play a white man if you want to, Suicide Squad, Helldivers 2, Foam Stars, Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden, Mario versus Donkey Kong, Skull and Bones, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, WWE 2K24, Outcast, A New Beginning, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Alone in the Dark. All of those have come out just in the last 3 months. Oh my God, guys, you can play a white man. Crazy.
And some of the biggest games of last year, also white men.
Yeah, exactly. I think that these people are so... It's not... Right, hold on.
Okay.
Let me find my sentence before I get annoyed. I blame these people to a certain extent for having... being so aggressive and volatile and vicious and disgusting in the way that they speak to and about people. However, I do not necessarily blame them for finding other people who find this same issue and being so vocal about it, because they have been allowed to be vocal about it. They have been supported by people like Elon Musk and others, and other right-wing alpha male type podcasts and podcast hosts to feel this way. And nobody seems to be telling them that they can't say this. We are in an age of free speech says I can, so I will. And that is part of the issue. But the other part of the issue is that people are so uneducated. These men, and we know they're men, are so flipping stupid that they can't see past their own hand in front of their face and realize that not everything's for them. Everything is not for you, all right, sir? Things are for other people. Things are for women. Things are for people of different races. Things are for people with different abilities. Things are for everyone. There's more than just you in the world, you silly, silly little man. And I just think that this isn't a thing that we should really address anymore. We should ignore them. If we ignore them long enough, if you don't engage with them online, if you just block them and remove them from your life, they won't be able to upset you, and they won't be able to keep spewing their nonsense. There's no point fighting with them. They're so far down the rabbit hole that you can never pull them out. At this point, they're like, you know, they're incels. That's what they are. And these people are so brainwashed and so convinced that they are right that you cannot change their mind about anything. The fact that, like, his main example was that Kratos didn't kill a man, and therefore men are being made to be weaker because killing people is what makes men strong, is just one of the many reasons these people are stupid. But they're so completely ignorant to everything else that's going on around them that there's no point arguing with them. You simply have to ignore them and have to just minimize their voice by consistently blocking and ignoring them. The more you engage with them, the more they spew, and the more stuff they spew, the more likely someone is to see it.
I love how he takes God of War Ragnarok as an example of, like, oh, this proves my point, because Kratos was weak because he didn't kill a man. But yeah, it also proves the point that, like, white men still are protagonists of video games. Yeah. You know, it's like it only proves half his point and it disproves the other half. That was like game of the year for most people, or for a lot of people at the time. And had a white male protagonist and a white male boy as well as the other protagonist and various other supporting characters, white males. So, yeah, you know, you can't even like use that as like the standout bit of evidence of like this proves everything that I'm saying. Well, it doesn't prove everything, does it? The first I saw of this was a video on Twitter that some people were reposting to sort of laugh at by the man who, when Starfield came out, he got really, really angry and posted that video
about
where he went,
pronouns,
flipping modern day flip, and got really cross. And now he's on this as well and apparently has been sort of on this campaign against Sweet Baby for a while. And he posted some video where he was like really, really like proud of himself because someone who had had a go at him for the pronouns thing had since joined the I don't like Sweet Baby in the way they're controlling these stories. And were like, you know, he was going, ah, look, you're one of these people who like called me out for the pronouns thing and now look at you. But there's just so much like confirmation bias. So like everyone on both sides of this argument, actually, but particularly I think on that side where people are so loud, everyone's living in an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And as you say, Ashton, like they're in their world where they're just seeing their ideas are being reinforced and no one's telling them, you know, anything to the contrary or maybe trying to like have the argument with
them. What do their mums think?
Exactly, yeah.
They like, don't care what their mum thinks.
No,
yeah, but, oh, no, but their mums, they're the boy mums. They're like, oh, my son.
Yeah,
my little racist, sexist son.
He just has big feelings.
I mean, you're right, Ashton, that when you say, you know, let's face it, they are men. I mean, they are certainly predominantly men, but as proved by the fact that people like libs of TikTok exist.
She is a menace.
There are women, too, who will go along with this and say, yeah, it's right that, you know, white men are great and shouldn't be pushed out, and men should be big and strong, and women in fiction and in reality probably as well should be like domestic, what do you call it, trad wives. That's
wives.
A trend
trad
as well
wives.
Traditional wife is like a
the woman who stays at home, raises her kids,
there's nothing wrong with
if you
that,
want to
just,
do it
the
that's
shorthand
fine.
Is like
but
it's
trad wife is like really
eye rolling
like,
inducing it's
yeah
it's a mentality of like I am a traditional wife from the 60s
and that's the right
of
thing
energy.
To do like okay. I agree there's nothing wrong with doing that if that's just the setup that you want to have in your own couple in your own family, but to look at what's going on around you in the world, other people, and to start having issues with that, that's where it gets problematic, whether that's in reality or in depictions within fiction as yeah. well.
The article's fantastic, by the way. We've linked it below. It is this good. Is written by Ash Parrish, and it's a proper deep dive on the subject. Ash has gone into the Discord server and spoken to various people and observed and quoted, and I've got a couple of quotes from the article here. Before I get to those, though, furthering on about what Sweet Baby actually does, they don't, and it's made very clear in the article several times, they don't control any narratives.
No.
They're brought in to consult and like give guidance to, and they've worked on so much stuff as well. Spider-Man 2, they've worked on loads of other, I think Alan Wake 2 as well. Mm-hmm. One of the leads on Alan Wake 2 was asked on Twitter, if Sweet Baby wasn't involved, is it true that Saga Anderson wasn't going to be black, she was going to be white? And he said, absolutely not. That's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, again, it says in the article, Sweet Baby are brought in to consult, and they can't make decisions for the studios. The studios still have to sign off on them. And they've had so much support and like public support from developers who have worked with them and, you know, private support as well. And getting harassed like that is terrifying. Mm. It's recently happened to a member of my family, which I won't talk about in any detail because I don't want to make it any worse. But these people are awful.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough reading about the fact that people are getting death threats, but actually receiving them, horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
No one should have to do that. So there are a couple of quotes I've got here just to sort of give you an idea of what these guys are actually about. The lack of understanding about game development, whether intentional or not, belies the group's true function, mm-hmm. a convenient excuse for anti-woke reactionary gamers to indulge in racist and misogynistic behavior that's typically shunned in online communities. And then there's a quote, "When I act racist, homophobic, or whatever, I feel free," one poster wrote in the Discord. And then there's another quote from later in the article. In order to regain some semblance of control, the members of the SBID, which Peter spoke about a minute ago, have chosen to attack something that neatly represents their every grievance, a small company that specializes in improving a game's narrative, staffed in part by women, queer people, and people of color. Then there's a quote. We'll have to make sure Sweet Baby is actually dead before picking a next target to go after together, wrote a user on SBID's Steam forum. That's it. They're just vile trolls that are,
yeah,
much like the first Gamergate, have banded together behind false pretenses, under, yeah, false pretenses, except this time it's way more transparent than even Gamergate was, and that was pretty transparent about its goals.
And it's just, it literally is, I mean, I know you can't quote a single member of any group and say this proves like what they all think, but to quote that guy, it's basically an excuse to just be racist, yeah, or transphobic. Yeah. It reminds me of when the Indiana Jones like kind of deep dive was shown, and there were a couple of, or maybe just one person, I think potentially, on the dev team who I think they might have been wearing like a rainbow, like a pride thing or something. There was something that like people identified them as being something other than just a white cis person, and immediately decided, well, this is terrible that that person is working on the game. And, yeah, you know, the tirade began immediately. You've not even, not that it makes any difference who or is or isn't working on it, but you've not even like touched the game yet.
Well, that, you know, was another thing in the article, that this SBID list includes games that aren't even out yet. Yeah. That they've, yeah, just decided, they've, well, exactly, they're involved, so we can't, yeah, can't, yeah, touch that.
Well, there was all the posts going around after Spider-Man of just a female developer that worked on the game being targeted because she in some way resembled MJ, and apparently, oh, MJ, yeah, wasn't pretty enough for them, and they just went after her. And there's just, it's just ridiculous. Like, the issue is that we live in a time now where it seems like everyone is allowed to say something divisive, and you just have to deal with it. Like, no one's getting punished. Everyone is so at each other's throats online. And partly it has to do with the fact that Elon Musk has been so vocal about the things, like he agrees with them in so many ways where it gives them so much more power than they should have. And they are not punished online. And these places like Libs of TikTok, her entire Twitter account is basically dedicated to, I mean, her followers have sent bomb threats and actual like shooting threats to schools that have like a pride flag, yeah, up in it. And it's just inciting hate, and it's so visceral and it's so horrible online that it's just a terrible place. So I will just echo again that the only way you can stop people like this having any power or any like say in anything is by consistently reporting, blocking, banning them from any forums that you might manage. And if they appear, you just ban them and just get rid. And if you are someone who is receiving death threats, it's hard and it's horrible to have to manually do it, but you just have to block them. Like, you just have to either unfortunately go private, which is such a shame because I know people like to be a public figure, if you will. But you have to either go private or just block them, because until they are silenced or someone tells them to stop or they are stopped by something, it's up to the individual, which is such a shame, but it's the only way we can stop them having any power is by removing a member of their audience, that being yourself or any of your friends. So
such a baseless argument as well, like, yeah, when there are still just so many good like white male protagonists or male but of color or white female, you know, whatever permutation, there's just no argument there at all. Even if we were in some strange world where there was a hard and fast rule in video game development where they said we're not doing any more white male characters anymore for the time being, you could still say, well, there is some making up to do, so we could have a couple of years without them and it still wouldn't be that bad. But we're not in that world regardless. We are in a world where we are still having white male protagonists every so often, or pretty often, in fact. So it just falls down at the first hurdle, I think. Yeah. Like, there's just no argument there at all.
And there's nothing wrong with having a white male protagonist. There's, yeah, nothing wrong with having
That's
a character
not the,
that is
the point.
That is a white male. There's nothing wrong with that. But I can
there's
say
also
that.
Nothing wrong
and
with
do you know how,
others,
like,
yeah,
I'm not angry that it's another man. Wow. Isn't that crazy? I've accepted that it's a white man and I've moved on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you see a woman and you get angry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I keep going back to the article. It is very good. Yeah. But it speaks to a number of developers about their experience of, you know, the accusations made by these pathetic losers about how, you know, game white characters are being made, or white male characters are being made weak, or white characters are being turned to black characters or queer characters or whatever. And every single person who was asked said the opposite is true. Never is a white character changed to a black character. It's always a black a character of color, or a queer character changed to a straight white character, mm-hmm. or a female character changed to a male character. It's never the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason you're seeing more of these things now is because these people who are making games are pushing for it to better represent, as it says in the article, themselves, their teams, and their friends.
Yeah. They're being changed.
These are real people. Why are you pretending that women or queer people don't exist, or people of color? I don't get it. Like, why is that such an assault for you that it's being acknowledged that these people exist?
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's that's the thing, isn't it? They're being it's now just the case that they're being changed to white males less than they were, rather than white males are being changed to, you know, black queer characters more, which, as you say, never happens. Mm. It's just we're now fortunately living in a world where if someone comes up with an interesting, you know, queer black character, it's being allowed to go ahead now more, because we are living in it. Despite what's going on here, we are in some ways living in a more kind of accepting and diverse world, fortunately. So,
yeah. It's pathetic and tedious and so exhausting that we are circling back to this again. But as Ashton said, we shouldn't give it any more oxygen than it deserves. And quite frankly, that is more than enough oxygen that we have just given
it. I agree.
So get in the bin.
Yes.
Shall we move on to a brand new section? That may raise our spirits a bit.
Yeah, I thought so. I think we should call it What We Play In.
Right.
It's What We Play In time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Peter, what have you been playing?
I was a bit poorly for a few days, but I have played one game in the past few days, which is the story mode, if you can call it that, of Star Wars Battlefront 2. Mm. That game, of course, came out, what's it called?
The Collector's Collection.
The Classic Collection has come out and has not been received very well, mainly in terms
Crazy.
Of its multiplayer.
Embracer.
Servers are bad.
Not like them.
Lots of bugs, visual, audio, all kinds of things. There has now been a patch on PC, and I think they were, last I read, which was yesterday, they were like waiting for approval on console. So there will be some improvements, hopefully, have been made by the time this podcast comes out. But single player mostly runs okay, still not perfectly. There are like weird audio issues a fair amount of the time. I had it crash on me once and just close the app. But other than that, like, I've not had any like visual or graphical stuff in single player. So played through the Rise of the Empire. God, that ends abruptly. So it's like you're going through it and it's following the story of like the original six movies. And you're going through various famous battles that happened. And you just kind of assume that like it's going to go till the end of Return of the Jedi. But you get to the Battle of Hoth and you're like fighting the way through. And then it ends, as you said to me, Ben, off camera the other day, where whenever a match ends, just the word victory comes up on the screen. As it used to. But like we were saying, it would have been nice if they just added... They could have added anything. They could have done any bells and whistles they like. No. It's just a like-for-like bad version of the game.
Yeah.
Just stops instantly. The word victory comes up. End of the Battle of Hoth. And then credits roll. Just straight away. And there's no... And that's it. And I was like, oh, okay. So we're in the opening scene of the fifth film. And we're not going to get the sixth one. So I forgot that's how it went. But apparently that's how it goes.
Hmm.
So that just ended really quickly. But I enjoyed it. And it's nice to be, you know, playing that game again. But it would be nice if multiplayer worked. I've not even tried it yet. I daren't even give it a go.
No. Don't bloody bother.
I don't think I will. I was thinking about streaming it. Originally, before the game came out, I was thinking about streaming the multiplayer and trying to get some people in to play with me. But you can't, like, set up parties or?
There's no, I might as well talk about my experience now as well, because I mainly played the online. Mm-hmm. What's, apart from all of the issues with the online that everyone knows about, like there being no aim assist, so you're just spraying everywhere, there being no party system, no progression system, they could have added literally anything. They did nothing.
No.
Yeah.
It's the fact that there's no like cohesiveness between Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2. Mm-hmm. You get dumped on a crap landing page and then just have to, with like no feedback, like no noise or anything, you just have to select which one you want to play. Then it boots into the game. It's exactly as it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it runs a lot faster now, but there's just, it's just so bad. Aspyr is, they haven't even gotten away with it. I was going to say, they've gotten away with murder here. Mm. They have dumped these out. The lowest effort possible ports you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. And they've used a mod, a fan mod.
Oh, yeah.
Or, well, it. I don't think it made it to the final build, but people have found the files like in the background that they've used someone's mod.
Dreadful. Like, it's unbelievable. And I'm so cross because, yes, the offline is functional. And at some point, I will play through those. But I really wanted to play the online. No party system is bonkers. Mm. So I played with my friends. We all had to keep refreshing the servers list until we could see the same server that available and then join it. No guarantee we're on the same side. We often weren't.
Yeah.
There's no way to invite people into your game. In fact, no, there is. That's not true. But you have to do it through the PlayStation menu. There's no in-game. It's like they could have done literally anything to this game just to improve it. I'm not talking about like loads of stuff. I just mean you play a game, you get a little rank next to your name depending on how much XP you've got. It's just really they've crapped this one out.
There are trophies, shocking. And that's about the only thing different compared to the previous, like the original.
60 gigabytes.
Yeah.
For two PS2 games that now run at 120 frames per second. Mm-hmm. How the bloody hell have you done that?
Yeah.
This is awful.
And how is it so bad? How is it way, way worse and more broken than the
original?
Have
you made two phenomenal games so rubbish?
Yeah.
And I know obviously there's a nostalgia factor, there's a rose-tinted glasses factor as well, but like they really have done a crap job. And Aspyr deserve this blemish on their record because they've this is now one of several Star Wars games that they've ported that they've buggered up.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop giving them these games.
Honestly, if it came out and they hadn't added anything at all, but it worked exactly as it should have done, then I could have accepted that. You know, if it was just a like for like, but it had great multiplayer that everyone could play and that's it, then fine. But I've had some really strange audio issues with mine where when I started playing and I was like, some of these sound effects sound like they're a bit like low and slowed down, and some of the music as well. And I was like, I can't really hear. I'm going to turn up the sound effects just so I hear. And I went to the sound effects menu, and as you like move the sound volume up and down, it plays a Wookiee growl so that you can, you know, it's like a sample sound. And the Wookiee growl that it played was like twice as long and as deep as it should have been. I was like, okay, there's definitely a problem here. And then it just righted itself after a while. I don't know what caused it, and it does it every time I boot up a new session. For the first, like, I don't know, 20 minutes, some of the sounds are really deep and slow, and then they just fix themselves. So I enjoyed it for what it was, but it is criminal that they've...
It's awful.
This has happened. And people got so excited when it was announced. It was like the GTA trilogy all over again.
Yeah, it kind of was, yeah. And the cohesiveness as well extends to, I suppose, the menus as well. Like, the menus are just completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It also plays very differently as well in that, and this may have been patched now, but when I played Battlefront 1, the sensitivity was mad, like so high. And it was on the default. I had to drop it down to 1 because otherwise you just like dart all over the place.
And I found it really... way too low. You were telling me that the other
Battlefront
day.
Yeah, Battlefront 2, it's the opposite.
I had to turn it up by a couple of notches because I was really like dragging my gun around.
Oh man, I don't know what they were thinking.
No.
I just don't know. And no matter how much patching they do, it's still going to end up being two PS2 games on PlayStation 5.
And they've missed that like hype window now. So like, if it had been working from day one, the servers would have been full of people really excited to play. And, you know, if they'd had the infrastructure in place, they could have had thousands of people all having a great time and then maybe sticking with it for a long time. But now people will be saying, oh, gave that a go. It was rubbish. I give up. And that, even if they fix it in a couple of weeks' time, it's just not going to be what it was.
All my friends bought it so we could play online together. Yeah. I know for a fact that none of them are going to be going back to it. I will eventually go back and play the single player stuff. But as you said, you know, it's very much of its time and it does, matches just end.
Yeah.
You know, they just finish and then that's it. And it's really weird, you know.
So I'll probably I might still stream The Rise of the Empire, but yeah, it's... It was a real, it's a shame what they've done.
Crap.
But that's all I played this week.
I played some things. I played some more Hotel Renovator Simulator.
Are you still hooked?
It's fun. It's good. I have unlocked like every upgradeable skill now. And I'm on like, I feel like I'm doing it too quickly, which I do with a lot of these games. Like when I played House Flipper 2, I just powered through all of the story mode. And then I was like, now I'm left to my own devices and I don't really want to do that. But yeah, I'm still enjoying that. I've also played some Final Fantasy VII, which is most of what I've played this week. I'm about 30 hours in now.
Wow.
I've done some races and went to the like mini game place, which I've forgotten.
Gold Saucer.
Yes, thank you. Did all those mini games, had fun, got a little cat friend now. Nice. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's good. I still think that, like, there's a lot in it and I am confused by some of the story beats. Like, there'll be a cutscene and I'm like, what's going on? How am I supposed to know what's happening now? But I'm enjoying it and I think, like I say, it does look very pretty. I think I'm just about to be allowed to roam free again, which is nice. But yeah, I've been enjoying that. There's also one other thing, but I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Mm. Ooh. Outside of Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection, I have also played some Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I haven't had a huge amount of time for games this week because it's just been dead busy. But I have played through an additional chapter in that, hopefully make some more time for it.
What chapter are you on?
Don't know.
Okay.
I'm over chapter 10. I'm beyond chapter 10. Okay, I can tell you that much.
Got to chapter 9.
Okay, cool. I can't remember which. It's either 11, it might be 12. I don't know. I might be in chapter 12 now.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure.
How many chapters are there? Did we look at 16?
I think it was like 14 or 15. Oh, 13, okay. 14, 15, sort of around that area.
But they could be long.
Yeah,
so.
Some might be longer than others. Yeah. Some might dump you in open world bits. It'll take time. So.
There are XIV chapters.
Yeah. What?
What does that mean?
What are you saying?
Huh? Say numbers.
Yeah.
I did try to play some Dead Island 2 in co-op, as I talked about last...
Is he in here? Where is he?
He's down there.
He's down there.
As I said last week, unfortunately, that didn't really cut the mustard, so that was abandoned.
It's boring.
Mm-hmm. Didn't even get that far. Zombies might have been a bit too realistic for a certain member of the co-op party. So that was walked away from. didn't even get out the tutorial, so that was done.
Oh,
wow.
You know what I played instead, though? And what? You will never guess what I played instead in co-op. Redfall.
Redfall?
Why?
Redfall.
Why?
Yeah. Because I thought, it's on Game Pass, it's co-op. Surely they've improved it. They haven't at all. The last update
it's
they did for
you
it.
You were the only one who's played it.
That's
in
it.
Like
he's
six
back.
Months.
He's come back.
Quick, turn the servers on.
They haven't done an update since the end of last year, but it still plays exactly the same. It's crap. Like, it's
gonna
awful.
Have the jelly wave.
Yo, the jelly wave looks way worse on Series S.
Cool.
Oh, it's awful. I've been playing on Series S. So I've actually now played... I was able to jump in with the character that I played for the 2 hours on stream where we played it. And then jumped into my co-op partner's game where they were starting a new game. And we have actually now played beyond where we got up to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so... It's nothing. It's such a nothing game.
Yeah.
Like it's buggy and glitchy and the AI is terrible. So the vampires aren't scary and they'll just like sort of walk up to you and kind of stand there waiting for you to do something. It's like, are you like, am I meant to be scared?
Am I the bad guy? Like, are you scared of me? Is
but
that
even the
happening?
Story missions, like the cutscenes are just, they're stills. It's a slideshow of art and stuff. And the missions are go to this place on the map, kill everything in here and maybe pick up a file and then the mission's done.
Yeah.
And you can come back if you want. If you want. You don't have to. And you pick up guns that are grey, green, blue or purple.
Yeah.
And sometimes the numbers are a bit higher. Sometimes they're a bit lower. And you've got to decide. You know, the skill tree's rubbish. I've got the one with Bribbon, the dog, mm-hmm. the robot dog. Bribbon is how it's meant
to say. It never goes Bribbon. Where you want him to do.
And it doesn't work either.
No.
I tested it again because one of the big issues I had on stream is that Bribbon, right, you tell him to go somewhere and he runs, he trots in and he wags his little tail really fast and makes a loud noise and he's meant to attract attention and distract them from you. Mm-hmm. What Bribbon actually did and still does is you send him in, he doesn't go where you want him to, he wags his little tail, everyone's alerted and they know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
And they ignore the dog and they come straight for you.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Bribbon's basically just like throwing an alarm clock into it.
I'm here.
And it says, he's over there. Mm. He's over yeah. there.
So I might play some more Redfall. Honestly, it seems like I will. So I'll tell you how I get on with the rest of Redfall.
In spite of all of that.
See, you know, it's just a co-op game. You turn your brain off. I'll let you guys know how I get on next week with more Redfall.
That's me dragging my boyfriend through like Saints Row. Like, he's like, I don't want to play any more of this. And I'm like, Redfall. I'm having a good time. And he's like, okay, we'll play more of it then.
Dead Island 2 was too scary, so we're playing Redfall instead, which is scary on a different level.
I'm surprised Dead Island 2 was too scary. Mm. But then I think once you get past the tutorial and it's daytime, they're much less scarier in the daytime.
Quite visceral, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the fact that it's first person and they get right up in your face.
Yeah.
And also the fact that there may be perhaps a present phobia for zombies. Anyway,
right, okay.
That might be a particular a scare trigger. Like horror games generally, okay.
Yeah.
But zombies, like realistic zombies, might be a bit too past the pale. Mm. So there we are. That's what I've been playing.
Well, I'd like Peter Austin, if me and you could head over to that review corner so I can tell you all about Alone in the Dark.
I'd love to.
Have fun.
Well, here we are. Isn't it...
spooky.
Spooky, yes. Yeah. Indeed. I was going to say cozy, but that would not be appropriate because what have you been playing, Ashton?
I've been playing Alone in the Dark.
Oh, God.
Before we get started, per ASA guidelines, this section of the podcast is now an at. Thanks to THQ Nordic for sending us a code. No money was exchanged. We're going to talk about it. All right?
That's the spookiest part of all.
Yes.
Is the ASA guidelines.
Yeah, exactly. And what will happen if we break them.
Mm.
So Alone in the Dark is a reimagining of the OG Alone in the Dark trilogy from the 1990s. Mm-hmm. But it's a brand new story featuring Emily Hartwood, who is played by actress, and I think she's won lots of awards, critically acclaimed actress Jodie Comer, and private investigator Edward Carnby, who is played by star of Marvel and also of Netflix, David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Okay.
So they're voicing the characters and also they look like them as well.
Right. So it's a reimagining of the original trilogy, but it's a completely
new... it's a new story.
Okay. So it's not really.
It's not really.
They're just using the brand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So you get to play as either or. So you have to pick a character, a bit like Resident Evil 2, where you have to play it twice to get the full experience because they have different stuff going on. So you have to pick which one you want to play as. But essentially the story is that you've gone to visit Emily's uncle Jeremy at a place called Duketto Manor, which is a home for the mentally fatigued, which when you look through like the patient reports, it's just like, this guy's just mad tired and he came here because he needed a nap.
Oh, can I go?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, dream. But your uncle Jeremy is missing, and so mystery and spooks ensue. I've been playing as Emily, and full transparency, I've played about 2.5 hours because we are going to play this on stream, so I didn't want to spoil it for myself. But I think I've got a pretty good gist of what the game is like with just that short time.
Okay.
It's a spooky game, as can be inferred by the title. You are alone in the dark. Though I would say, actually, for the most part, you're not actually in much dark. You're in the manor and the lights are all on. So you're alone in the light.
In the light.
For some of it. But essentially, you kind of go back and forth. So you start in the manor. You can't find anyone. You're trying to find your way in. And then once you're in and you go to visit your uncle's room, you get kind of sucked in to a different area. So you end up in a place called the French Quarter. It's like the first nightmare type situation you're drawn into.
Right.
And during the game, you kind of, it'll flash like back and forth, like the hallway will be fine and then it will be covered in goo and then it will be fine again.
Classic.
Yeah. But the issue is with that is that like, it's not very scary. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not finding myself like spooked out. Like I walk out of a door and it almost like it's not happening immediate enough where it's like scary, and then I can just like sprint down a corridor and then walk out a door and it's done. Like, right. I don't feel like there's any like terror instilled in me, which is kind of the vibe for most of this, to be honest. Like when you go to the French Quarter, which is, happens quite early on in the game, you basically meet the monsties pretty much immediately. Like it's not like, oh my God, there it is over there.
No slow build.
No, you kind of walk down a little corridor and you see one at the end kind of like jittering and you're like, ooh. But then by the time you get to the end of the corridor, a different monster attacks you and you just have to shoot it to death.
Okay.
So you have a handgun and melee weapons that you'll pick up and they'll break as you use them. And they're kind of like, the enemies are like maggoty men. Like there's like a guy who's got like his shoulders just full of giant maggots and he'll just yeet like maggots and goo at you. And then there's other ones that are like made of vines and stuff that you'll find in like the garden whenever you're in a gardeny area.
Right.
The issue is though with them is that it tries to imply like, oh, you should try and distract it with like bottles or bricks and stuff that you find along the way. However, not once has one of them chased a brick I've thrown.
Okay.
Almost every single time I've been spotted and just had to run away and shoot them or hit them with my axe, because nearly every single time, like, I'm like, throw a bottle over there. And it's like, I see you. I'm coming. And then they'll just like gobble over towards
Working as intended then.
Yeah. Yeah. And also you can't lose them. So like I left the courtyard down through a door and ran back out into the street when I was being chased by two of them. And they just carried on following me. So you can't like hide and like wait for them to move on and like save your ammo. You just kind of have to kill them because otherwise they're just going to keep chasing you forever.
Okay.
There's also lots of puzzles, which I think the puzzles I've done so far have been relatively interesting. You have to go back through like clues and stuff that you find as you're going through to figure out what like the code might be or where you have to put certain things, which I think is really fun. However, sometimes the things you have to find, like you may have found a note that's like, I put the plate here that you need to find. And it's like, okay, so I know where the plate is. But unless you find a specific other piece of paper somewhere else in the house that tells you, you need to put the plates here.
Right.
The objective doesn't necessarily come up straight away.
Okay.
So you have to kind of pick up everything and then the clues will pop up. And normally if it's like a bit of text, it will be read to you. So like someone is like, the person who's written it is reading it out, which is fine. But some of these bits of text are so long that I feel like it would take like 5 to 10 minutes for them to like read through the entire thing.
Oh my God.
So most of the time I'm like skipping past the text because one, the font is really hard to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a typewriter type font,
yeah.
Which is fine. Like, you know, that's the aesthetic of the place, but I can't read the font very well.
Yeah.
And also like, it's being read to me and it's taking such a long time. I'm like, I'm just going to skip on to the next thing. Like, I've got what I need from this. I get the gist. But for the most part, even in the cutscenes, like the voice acting's really good, but the pacing's a bit slow and I find myself getting bored during the cutscenes and stuff. Like, I'm kind of like, okay, right, something spooky's going on. There's still loads of people in this house. Like, I'm not really spooked out. And even when I get forced into the alternate dimension, I'm not really scared.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not finding myself like, oh no, I've got to get back out of here quickly. Like, at one point, a room just started filling up with like tar. And I was like, oh no, better get over there and get the piece of paper it wants me to get.
It's not getting your heart rate up.
No, it's not. It's not scary like your Resident Evils or like, you know, your other survival horror type things.
Mm-hmm.
So you collect clues and information and then things that are called Lagniapes.
Right.
Or Lagniapes.
That sounds like a squoodle to me.
It is a bit of a squoodle. I had to Google it and it basically means bonus things. But they're essentially like the collectibles in the game, where if you collect the full set, they might reveal extra information or clues or extra stuff about the game if you collect all three.
Right.
And you can collect them in just one playthrough if you want to. But I think from the gist of things, it suggests that like you might have to play it twice to collect everything.
Right.
But yeah, it's like fine. Like the game is fine. And sometimes like the faces are a bit wonky. And sometimes like it's jittery a little bit, and the sound doesn't always work correctly all the time. Mm-hmm. These are things that may be patched out on like release day, because I was playing it unpatched, ahead of time.
Yeah.
So it may, some of these issues may have been patched out, like some of the sound was like happening slightly too late, like you'd fire the gun and it would be like almost like a second too late, and then like the rest of the gun would be fine, but the first shot would sound really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's fine. I think unfortunately it will be forgotten very quickly. I think the only thing that it has going for it is that its two main characters are actual like well-known stars.
Feels like most horror game, like classic horror games that are being remade or remastered or rebooted, are all kind of just not really delivering, except possibly Resident Evil.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mm. Which is a shame, because there's some really good stuff from back in the day that would really benefit from just a decent, you know, new quality of life stuff, but the old spirit of the thing. But sounds like it's another victim of that.
I wish they'd lent into the spooky more and really built the suspense.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you show me what I'm fighting, they're not scary anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if I know I can kill them, with admittedly, I think too many bullets to be playing on normal, but as soon as I know I can kill it, then I'm not scared of it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just kind of feel like the suspense isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun little puzzler, and like, I don't think it's particularly long. Like, I can't see this story being dragged out past like 10 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. And if you like the Alone in the Dark games and you fancy kind of a not so spooky game,
mm-hmm.
then it might be for you.
Sounds like it'll make a good stream game for us.
Yes, I think
I'm sure we'll have
it
fun as a three. But yeah, that's a shame though that it's not so good on your own.
No.
Oh, well. Well, thanks, Ashton.
No problem.
Should we head back to the rest of the podcast?
Yes, let's.
All right.
Time now for question two, which comes from Chris McVeigh. Hi, BAP. Rumours are swirling that a PlayStation 5 Pro announcement is on the way soon, including some leaked specs of the new unit. My question is, why?
Why?
The base PS5 is not only still perfectly fine from a technical perspective, I would say it's still not been given a chance to show off what it can really do yet, but it also seems like a huge waste of resources, with rumours also spreading that PSVR 2 has so much unsold stock that they are pausing production, and the general cost of video games and everything else right now is now really the time to drop a £600-£700 console that can play the 12 PlayStation 5 games that actually exist at resolutions imperceptibly different to what we have right now.
Chris.
Scathing.
I have some like info about what these alleged specs are.
Can I just
say, ready for mad squoogles?
Well, yeah, this is what I was going to say. It was only when I saw these leaks coming out that I realized for the very first time that teraflops isn't a made-up word. I thought when people have been saying my new PC has like 15 teraflops, I thought it was a meme.
Sure you do.
What the flip is a teraflop? What the flop?
Did you do it?
No.
Did he do it?
He went, anyway, this comes from IGN. The headline improvements here are to the CPU, which is said to be identical to the standard PS5 CPU, but with a high CPU frequency mode, which amounts to a 10% increase to 3.85 GHz, and the GPU, which enables faster rendering and higher quality ray tracing powered by 33.5 teraflops. The standard PS5 offers 10.38 teraflops. However, a direct PS5 to PS5 Pro comparison would work out at around 10.28 versus 16 to 17 teraflops. Of particular interest, the PS5 Pro is said to have an upscaling slash anti-aliasing solution called the PSSR. Not to be confused with the USSR. PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution.
No, of course not to be confused with the USSR.
PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution Upscaling. Custom machine.
Oh, still learning. Going.
Custard machine? What?
Custom machine learning
wow, I'm
architecture.
I'm going to buy one of these.
Machine learning architecture and an AI accelerator. Elsewhere, the PS5 Pro has a detachable disk drive and 1 terabyte of storage space.
A teraflop is a unit of computing speed equal to 1 million million
flops.
Floating point operations per second.
Oh, flops. Flops.
Teraflops is an absolutely terrible name for a technical thing and an absolute squoodrill. But yeah, basically, the things are so minuscule in their what they're changing. I'm sure all of the tech bros listening who've famously...
Sub-tech bros.
Understand you. How okay. much we know about tech are going to be... tearing their hair out at how angry we are about the word teraflops.
I'm not angry.
And how ridiculous this all sounds. But I'm disappointed that it is a real word.
Teraflop is what you call, you know those videos where people jump belly first off cliffs into the
yeah,
sea?
Yeah, that's a teraflop. Yeah. Anyway.
I saw a headline the other day that said, rumor, GTA 6 won't run at 60 FPS on the PlayStation 5 Pro. So what are we doing here?
That was an analyst.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're wrong.
This is a hypothetical console that we don't actually have the specs for. So they could be wrong. But
think of the teraflops.
Indeed. It feels like it's like an inverse bell curve. There are two ends of this spectrum and we're kind of like floating around in the middle where the current PS5, in some ways I can agree with Chris and say part of me does feel like it hasn't been able to show what it can do, because as we discussed, I think on last week's podcast or the week before, so many games that have come out on PS5 in air quotes that have been made in such a way that they're not going as far as they could on the PS5 because they also have to be playable on, say, you know, either the previous gen or the Xbox Series S. So there's that end of the spectrum. And then also we're getting things like this headline saying it's not going to be able to play GTA 6 at 60 FPS. Why?
Why?
I don't know. So it's very confusing. We've got this current hardware that isn't being pushed by the software that's coming out, but also in the sort of on the horizon, we appear to have all this stuff coming out that isn't going to run properly on this thing. I don't know what's happening.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
You are the kind of person who buys stuff because you want to have it, in that like you've bought a lot of the PlayStation 5 controllers.
Yes.
And like the sides and stuff they've brought out.
Mm-hmm.
Would you buy a PlayStation 5 Pro?
I would consider it, but I would need to see its benefits in action. I wouldn't just buy it for the sake of buying it.
Yeah.
I would have to have a valid reason.
Yeah.
A genuinely very valid reason.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think. Because I have a PlayStation 5. In fact, there is two PlayStation 5s in my household. And I
the
would...
PS 10.
Yeah, the PS 10. I actually have
not
a PlayStation 10.
Not to be confused with the USS 10.
Yeah. sorry, do you have a problem?
No, it's fine. Okay. It's a good point. It's a valid point.
I just saw you were getting bored, so I thought I'd just throw a joke in there.
It was good. That and custard machine I was there for.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't see the point in buying a PlayStation 5 Pro at this point, and probably wouldn't unless my PlayStation died, and of which I don't think it's going to happen for a while because it doesn't get enough use in that it has, like, I'll run it into the ground type of situation. I do think that this whole thing with Sony, it's the same thing we discussed a few weeks ago with the, is this generation going well? Do we think it's a good generation? And I still think the same thing in that this generation, I feel like, is the greedy generation. And bringing out a PlayStation 5 Pro with essentially minuscule differences and not enough games to justify these differences as is a kind of a money-grabbing situation. The PlayStation VR 2 has a lot of brilliant tech and is a fantastic device, but they scuppered its growth because it didn't have enough games for it, and you didn't have anything coming to it where PlayStation VR or VR gamers would be like, I have to get the PSVR 2 because I want to play this game. It looks amazing. All the games they showed for it looked fine, but nothing brand new and impressive in the VR sphere.
Nothing that's going to attract the flat gamers.
No, exactly.
People get very protective about VR. I think that I saw someone making the very enthusiastic point that there's 150 games out for PSVR 2 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's great.
But there's like 500.
Which one is the one that would sell you on a VR 2? Mm.
Yeah.
And I'd argue that there's none.
And there's also like hundreds and hundreds for other VR systems that work on computers or work with Steam.
They're bringing it to PC now, aren't they? PSVR 2 compatibility with PC.
Yeah, I think so. Which would potentially convince me to
definitely sell more that way.
But I still wouldn't be able to play all my games on it. Mm-hmm. I'd love to play Half-Life Alyx again.
Yes, and I'd love to play that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is a fantastic game. And I kept saying, if they bring that to the VR 2, people might actually buy it because that is a blockbuster game that would hit for it. Anyway, we're not talking about PSVR 2. I got distracted.
It's a flipping great headset, though. Like, really, really good.
It's just a shame that they didn't do anything with it.
There's not enough games.
And I just think PlayStation, like what they've been saying, oh, well, we're not bringing any first-party games out until first quarter 2025. Why would anyone buy your console if you've not got any games coming out? Like, what a weird system that they're doing. I think, like, obviously there are games still coming out for the PlayStation 5, but none of them, like we've said, that push the console to a point where I'm like, man, I wish this was a more powerful console. Mm-hmm. It doesn't struggle with very many games at all. The games it struggles with are normally games that were made badly, to put it bluntly. And I just think the PS5 Pro is kind of redundant at this point, and I think it will be reflected in its sale figures. So that's my thought.
If it comes out and exists in any way as described by these so-called leaks, the only big thing I can see it doing or kind of a selling point would be for a bunch of games to run at 60 FPS in 4K on them, because there have been various releases over the past couple of years where you have to choose one or the other, performance mode or fancy. And if it's fancy, I hope you like slideshows, which Ashton does.
I love slideshows.
Yeah.
I can see both sides of the argument here, because the PS5 Pro, undoubtedly is only going to be for enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not going to be for everyone. And if it's not for you, that's okay, because there's going to be an audience who want this. Sony will need to keep their stock and sales expectations in check, though. Maybe not produce as many units as the PSVR 2, for example, if they're not guaranteed to sell through them. The issue of performance versus quality mode, as you said, has to be solved by this. That has to be the one thing this machine can do, is run at crazy frame rates and also look amazing as well. And of course, then there's the tantalizing prospect of PSSR, PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution Upscaling, which is actually PSSRU.
Yeah.
Not PSSR.
They didn't put the U on. Maybe they were worried.
It's missing an S as well.
Yeah.
Which also sounds interesting, and that will upscale things to like up to 8K with minimal like requirements from the system itself, which is very, very clever if they manage to pull that off. However,
tell me about the custard.
On the other, if you put the custard in a cup and then go into the bathroom and hold it under the hand dryer,
yeah,
you've got a delicious drink. Mm. Just saying, try it. On the other hand, it will, of course, be absurdly expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scalpers will buy most of them
Yes.
Yep.
immediately, so best of luck with that. And yeah, the base PS5 is still great. By this point in the PS4's generation, it was starting to creak a bit.
Well, this is what I mean.
PS5 is not doing that at all.
This is what I mean. I know that obviously their standard fare is 4 years or so after the release of the initial console, they released the Pro. But when you think about the PS4 Pro, when I got my PS4 Pro, it was because my PS4 was physically unable to run most of the games I wanted to play. The PS4 Pro struggled, like with Borderlands 3, there was such a huge difference between the way the PS4 and the PS4 Pro handled that game, and they both still struggled.
They were both crap still, yeah.
But the fact that like there was a noticeable and significant enough difference, which meant that I could justify buying a Pro, is just not present.
Mm-hmm. Kind of feels like they've done this purely based on
the time.
Oh, right. This time on the last generation, you know, we're about halfway through the average generation time. It's about time we brought out a Pro, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, is it? Do you need one? You know, what's this going to do? Mm-hmm. So it has to do something interesting for it to justify its existence.
Well, it's like Xbox have more recently said that the next time they bring out a console, it will have such significant changes and be the next step in, like, console technology, which is obviously a bold claim to make.
Didn't they also have a Pro type thing leaked a while back through all the court documents and stuff? Am I misremembering that? Might be a Mandela effect.
They definitely said recently
in their like State of the Union that yes, we're going to do another console and it's going to blow your flipping minds. Mm. But I may be misremembering that.
A lot of stuff was leaked, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like, oh, we're definitely doing this, or it was just that just they were plans, thinking about. Yeah. It.
Well, I have a friend who is definitely going to be getting
this.
You have a friend who works at Bethesda.
Why are you like this? I have a friend who's definitely going to be buying the PS5 Pro, but he does also have a PSVR 2. So I don't know if what that means, but it should tell you everything you need to know. Those things are for a certain audience, and it's not going to be for everyone. But it doesn't mean that it shouldn't exist, because I imagine that if it does come out, it will justify its existence to the people who want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be impressive in a way that those people find impressive. It may not be very impressive to any of us, or maybe you listening or watching at home, but you have to believe that there will be a market for this. It's just, especially in the case of PSVR 2, expectations need to be set by Sony for how much money they want to make on this and how many they want to produce. Because it could be like the PlayStation Portal all over again, where nobody really wanted it, and then actually it got reviewed and everyone said, this is pretty amazing, you know? And then all the scalpers bought them.
Mm. Yeah.
And then they never made any more. And so it could be that. Who's to say?
Yeah. Mm. Well, time now for something current and happening at this precise moment in time.
Something strange and peculiar.
Weird news. It's weird news time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can submit some weird video game news to us under the relevant social media post that goes out on a Tuesday. However, if you'd like to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, you go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at the appropriate tier, and become a podcast producer just like
Chris Thompson's Thumbs,
G.Y. Goliath,
Nexus Polaris,
Nicole Hansen,
Kyle Gary,
Andy Scott,
Blake Thomas,
Lockie Morris.
I'm way too high.
Shaman or Shaman, no mo.
Great Giggity.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Katie right. Garrod or Garrod.
Gabrielle Philip Hink.
Potato Shack 99.
Eric Thew.
And Big Money Bobby Vegas.
Wait.
Sorry, everyone. Don't know what happened there.
That was a fun one.
It was a gas leak.
Yeah. Thank you.
I should say that the weird news post has changed now.
Yes.
It's just a gif of us doing the paper tapping, which I don't know if it confused you, but it confused me.
I was
looking for it. We organized it without post? You. And that's
fine. Once again,
another situation where no one tells Ashton anything. And I'm like, oh, why are the posts not going out?
Well, it's just it's above your pay grade. Matters of GIF discussion are management level only.
But when Ashton has to find the GIF, I would like to be informed that the GIF is a thing.
It's easy to find. There's only 12,000 posts going out a day on social media now.
It's fighting for my life out here. Anyway, just so you know, it's a gift now.
Someone on Facebook said that they loved it. They loved the gift. They enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad they loved it.
I'm glad you like it. Do you like it, even though
it's
hard
to find?
Yeah,
I like it. I would have liked to have been told about it.
Well,
anyway,
we'll tell you next time.
Breaking news. We now post a gif on Twitter and Facebook.
Random.
Random.
This is according to IGN.com. It was sent by RB at R underscore B 84 and Joe at Hojo Blowjo, both on Twitter. Good name. IGN. Written by Anthony Wood. Woody? God's sake. Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley's 1.6 update will let players drink mayonnaise.
Disgusting.
And fans couldn't be more conflicted. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's written by Ashton Matthews.
I hate mayonnaise.
In a flip-flop for the ages, Stardew Valley creator Eric Barone or Baroni, anyone know?
I think it's Barone. Oh. I think.
I don't know.
I would assume
Barone has revealed that mayonnaise will become a drinkable item for players once the highly anticipated 1.6 update lands for PC on March the
9th. You just know the noise it's going to make. It's like one from Minecraft. Yum, yum.
But thicker.
Yeah, thick mayonnaise.
I like pickles, but mayo, I plead the fifth, said Barone to a fan in a 2021 Twitter/X post discussing why the digital versions of the foodstuffs couldn't be slurped down in Stardew Valley. It's more interesting than that. The person actually, in fact, they've got the tweet embedded here. Hi, at Concerned Ape. I heard a rumor that we can't eat mayo and pickles in Stardew Valley because you don't like either of those foods. Is that true? And he said, no, that's not true. If I remember right, the real reason you can't eat them in the game is because they are in a glass jar and I didn't want to have to draw a special animation for fishing out the pickles. And no way would I allow drinking mayonnaise.
Yes, because it's wrong.
Well, time makes liars of us all, Ashton. And in his latest daily patch note, Barone announced that the impending 1.6 update will in fact make players artisanal mayonnaise a drinkable item.
This is my game.
Artisanal mayonnaise sounds like a euphemism.
This is my game agate.
Yeah, it does. Is it?
I'm going to start a Discord server.
Yeah.
Harass Eric.
Pronouns!
Mayonnaise!
Though why you would want to chug the white stuff and what benefits it may confer remain a mystery. Ugh. So he has been posting single lines from the patch notes on Twitter. And the other day he just posted the words, "You can now drink mayonnaise." at the time of writing, the post has already banked over 120,000 likes, with many Stardew Valley fans taking to the comments to express a range of emotions, running the gamut from horrified to elated. I wish it was eat instead of drink. I think I'm going to be sick, lol, said Reddit user Wyam. That's how it's spelled, on a post discussing the patch note. Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should, said user Gammon Gaming 11.
Gammon Gaming.
That's the story. There's more to the article, but that's it, really.
Disgusting.
Blimey.
You'll soon be able to drink mayo.
Horrifying. I have some news, and it's much better.
Yeah.
Is it?
I know it is.
It comes from Harris McCord on Facebook and at LloydW90 on Twitter.
Thanks, Lloyd.
And when Kieran saw this, and it was echoed by Peter, he said, this looks like it's got Ashton energy. So
I picked this story. We tell each other the headline before we don't cross over. And I said, I'm going to take this news. And I said, no, wait, no, this is an Ashton story.
Yeah. But no.
But no.
This comes from Kotaku by Levi Winslow. Twitch streamers are playing games on boobs and butts.
Hooray!
On boobs and butts.
Risque creator Morgpie got streamers playing games on her green screened behind. There's a new way to watch broadcasts on Twitch, and it's not just pulling up a live stream on your monitor or TV and calling it a day. No, actually, it's a sort of an inception situation where you're now watching something like Fortnite projected onto a green screen of either boobs or butts. If that sounds confusing, please allow me to explain. On March 12th, Risque streamer Morgpie streamed herself reacting to creator Charles Moist Critical White's, that's his name, White's YouTube video about Twitch's evolution. Instead of just doing a normal picture-in-picture broadcast, Morgpie did a split-screen view featuring Moist Critical's video being displayed on her ass. The video gained some traction online, but that wasn't the one that seems to have established a new meta on the live streaming platform. Instead, it was a different broadcast of hers from March 14th, which saw her work out a bit before green-screening her Fortnite gameplay on a huge image of her butt.
So she wasn't actually...
No, it was. I looked at the clip when I picked this story.
So she was stood there live.
It's not a still image. She's got two cameras. One on her face.
That one is a still image. but the most critical one, I think, was her.
I don't think that in real time. What, if you watch it in full screen, like I clearly did this morning.
Zoom in.
Oh, yeah, you are right. Zoom that in, is her in. Actual butt.
She moves a bit.
It's got the...
Oh, so
it's
weird.
A live feed.
There's going to be a museum dedicated to this stuff in the future, like more pioneers of burlesque and things.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now other Twitch streamers have joined in on the platform's newest meta, because of course they have. A handful of creators are playing games on anime titties. Some VTubers are displaying gameplay on anime thighs and entire bodies for some strange reason.
I do actually have a couple of green hats. I could do a stream where it's just my face with that, just my nose up and then a hat.
Yeah.
And I play a game on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could do it.
I don't quite get it either, but somehow this all makes sense on Twitch. Mm. Sex sells, after all, and the platform is no stranger to nudity, artistically implied or otherwise.
I don't even get it, though, because the one thing that is supposed to be sexually arousing in that is the butt, which isn't there. It's just a butt-shaped silhouette.
But it's the idea of the butt.
Well, I suppose it's
and
the idea,
thighs.
Isn't it? Yeah. And
you
the
can see her thighs.
You can see her thighs, yeah.
Salacious.
Mm. Yeah, so the new meta on Twitch, which I can't wait to see on our Twitch channel, because whenever we go on Twitch to like set up a live stream, all of our suggested are
someone
like
someone is secretly watching horny channels while logged in.
Well,
it
wasn't secret. We were sending them to each other.
Occasionally
being like,
we
wow,
just
look
go,
at
why
this.
Why is this being recommended?
And then it just kept recommending us more and more. And now the algorithm thinks we really like seeing boobies and bums.
The like implied nudity ones where they're clearly wearing like something that just stops at the nipples.
Yeah.
But then they frame the camera so it stops just before the clothes.
Yeah.
And those ones.
Yeah.
You know, we had a few of those.
Yeah, and when they're doing yoga, but it's really just they're just in like downward dog with their bum towards the camera.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Weird.
Good for you.
I mean, good for them. But
and
also,
they've got like thousands
of
people watching.
Yeah, who's watching children? I can only assume
just
like
sending,
teenagers. Yeah.
Sending Rose emotes and stuff.
Weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird, I mean, all the power to them. They're not in the wrong here. I just can't get in the mindset of the people who...
The
throw
simps.
Money at that.
The simps.
Gang.
Yeah. Mental gang. Yeah, exactly. I've got some weird news. Mm-hmm. This comes courtesy of Aaron Pristelski on Twitter, at Aaron Pristelski, and James Matthews, cousin, on Facebook. This is an article from Kotaku and Zach Zweisen. Monopoly Go spent almost $500 million on marketing, more than Spider-Man 2's dev budget.
Oh, my God. You have to stop at like Monopoly stops and go and catch all your Monopoly with your, is it augmented reality mobile
Monopoly
game?
Go, yeah. Try and catch the dog as it runs across the road. Monopoly Go, a multiplayer mobile board game, launched on April the 11th, 2023. Since then, it has made over $2 billion.
My what? God. Uncle Moneybags will be really pleased.
Been downloaded 100 plus million times and become one of the most popular digital games on the planet. But to reach this point, Scopely, the studio behind the hit game, has spent hit game as if it's not just Monopoly. I mean, they did code it, but you know what I mean? Like, we can't pretend it's a flipping unique idea, an original thought.
They came up with it. Mm.
Has spent nearly $500 million on marketing alone, which is more than what Sony spent on some of its biggest games like Spider-Man 2 and The Last of Us Part 2.
Well, they should spend some more because I've not seen it.
Yeah, me neither.
You might not be aware of Monopoly
Go.
No.
A mobile game that released last year. We know.
Wow. Crazy.
But it's very likely that someone you know is playing it. Perhaps a parent or an uncle or a sister.
It's your job to find them and delete it from their phone.
After all, the game is massively popular with over 10 million daily players.
God.
According to a recent post from Scopely, in just 3 months it made $1 billion. But that kind of success doesn't come cheap or easy. What? It then goes on and on and on and on and on and on. But we already know what happens because it said it in the headline.
500 million and they've made $2 billion.
They've made $2 billion.
Monopoly, though, I mean, God, it's awful. Like, the old lady used to live across the road from my parents before they moved, not before she died.
moved on.
Played Scrabble with her friends on her iPad, online Scrabble. Mm. At least, I mean, God, I'm not a big fan of Scrabble, but Monopoly is just terrible. I hate it.
I remember playing Monopoly on my friend's Nokia not 3310,
right?
The sequel to the sort of like gray, sleeker looking version of the brick one.
Yeah.
Because that had a store where you could buy games, mm-hmm. and he had Monopoly, and we used to pass the phone around on the bus and play Monopoly on it. That sucked, but it was amazing that you could play it on the go.
Mm-hmm.
And now, $2 billion?
I don't understand how it works, though. Like, are you playing a game against your friends and you're also wandering around town?
Maybe AI.
Or is there, does it set up a board game in your town and you are just walking in a big square?
I don't know. Maybe the article said, well, I've closed it.
I don't think it's an actual Go game like Pokemon. Mm. I think it's just
to take
it's
it
just
on the
called
go.
Monopoly Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you play against CPUs. You could probably play against people online. It might be like a turn-based thing.
There was that Monopoly
game
on the PC. I can't remember what that was called. But me and MB played that a few times against CPUs, and we nearly always lost mm-hmm. to the computers.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on for hours
yeah.
because it would not stop.
The robots.
The robots,
they
they're
win.
Too good.
Yeah.
They want to
yeah.
win.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my weird news.
Wow.
Shall we move on?
Let's.
To the big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion this week. It comes courtesy of Rock Reese, who says, "Hey, Bap, Ubisoft revealed their new AI NPC with supposedly unbiased positive feedback. Do you think this could actually be an interesting concept if we were to try look past the dangers and hatred that come with using AI?"
Hmm.
Hmm. Thank you, Rock Reese. I got as far as writing Eurogamer Chris Tapsell, who's the author, and then just didn't put any of the article on my sheet. So I've got it on my phone. Okay. I've got a little write-up here. Much the same as last year, AI remains the talk of the town at GDC, that's Game Developers Conference, 2024. Roblox Studio has announced a new generative AI-based character creator. Graphics card manufacturer NVIDIA unveiled a new AI-powered chip, sending its stock price skyrocketing.
Did they make a little robot as well?
Don't know.
Okay. I think I saw they made a little Star Wars robot.
Oh. And behind closed doors, Ubisoft demonstrated something of its own to a small collection of the press, a partnership with InWorld AI to create a prototype for newly evolving NPCs, or Neo-NPCs, as Ubisoft calls them. You celebrating?
Yay!
Yay.
It's the best timeline. All the squeegee.
It's important to stress the prototype factor here. At the event, Ubisoft gave a brief presentation explaining the origins of its research team, led by Ubisoft Paris and a supporting Ubisoft production technology crew, and its goals, often referring to the project as an experiment. After this, I had a chance to sit down and actually play three roughly 10-minute long demonstrations of the technology in action within a hypothetical game scenario. But while these demos were technically playable, they were explicitly described as an independent proof of concept for now. In a brief panel discussion, after the hands-on time, Melanie Lopez-Malay, senior data scientist on the R&D team, said they were only just scratching the surface. Dot, dot, dot. Implementation, in brackets, in a real game, for me, is not even on my radar. Still, this is one of the first working examples of generative AI being used in an actual player-facing role from any major studio, and it does work. Sort of. The full premise is that, in Ubisoft's words, the typical approach to using generative AI with NPCs, like large language model, LLM mods for standard games that patch ChatGPT-style functionality into dialogue options, were often somewhat empty or shallow in practice. While they can technically say anything, what these NPCs say doesn't impact the game itself. And so what you end up with as scientific director David Luapra put it, is roleplay, but not gameplay. The goal with Neo NPCs is to do something that merges the two. It goes on, and we'll attach the article down below if you want to read more of Chris's thoughts there.
I don't know if you said it in the article, but the way this one works is that you would talk to it. You
yeah.
hold down your
microphone button,
speak
and
to
have
it,
a chat.
And then it would respond to what you said. Which I thought, do you remember a few months ago, there was discussion about voicing your own character? Do you remember? And it was like, I thought that EA had patented that, or I thought it was EA that were doing it. So I was quite surprised when I found out that Ubisoft were kind of doing something a little bit similar.
They'll all be dabbling, won't they?
Yeah, I think you have to be quite specific with patenting anything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If they've got something that which is kind of create your own voice or voice your own character, if it's an NPC,
it's
then maybe
enough.
There's some kind of nuance there. But don't know how I feel about this. Like, I mean, Rock Reese does say in the question, if we try to look past the dangers and hatred that come with using AI, then I guess I can objectively see how this is an interesting concept. It reminds me of things that back in the blissful days when I was a child, before AI was really a thing, as we know it today anyway, I did used to think like, oh, won't it be great in like decades time when video games, you can just say anything to an in-game character and they can say anything back to you. I thought like one day that will happen. And, you know, your open world sandbox games, your Oblivions and your GTAs, you'll be able to go around the city and it will just be alive and totally unique to your experience. And that in and of itself sounds really interesting. Unfortunately, with that comes the idea that because their responses are being generated there and then, you're taking away the kind of work where preset scripts are being recorded by voice actors. And so, yes, as Rock Reese says, when you look past all the negative things that come with AI, it's an interesting idea and it's kind of exciting. But when you include all the dangers and negative things that come with AI, again, we've got the kind of work being taken away from other people here, and also probably dangers with, like, what are these characters going to say? Can you trust the AI? I know ChatGPT at the moment, as an example, has a lot of like quite harsh filters on it to stop it like going anywhere near anything that could be contentious.
But it has been tricked into doing that.
But it's been
several times.
It's been told like, role play as though you are a bot that's allowed to be racist or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's just, you know, so it can be tricked into doing it. And also, when it works, then obviously, quite rightly, it's good that it is avoiding that kind of thing. But it's, at the moment, it's such a strong filter that sometimes you can't talk about things that are, that you should be able to, you know, and like it doesn't like to talk about things that are like violence related, or, you know, so if you're asking ChatGPT about certain things like boxing, maybe there are things it will be able to talk about and things it probably can't talk about. Or if you tell it, like, give me some ideas for a war movie, it might say, well, I can give you some, but I'm not allowed to talk about war crimes. Or, you know, those aren't real examples necessarily, but there are things like that where it has to, like, be, it's oversensitive, I guess, this filter. So, yeah, it's always a dangerous game, just trusting an AI to do the right thing. And so if this ever was implemented in a game, God only knows the weird news headlines that would be created for the first 6 months.
Yeah. Further on in the article, they talk about their specific experience with this AI and how essentially the context that they were given was that you're planning a heist and it asks you, what do you think we should do about this? And you can tell it. And they kept telling it that they wanted to find a big enough cardboard box, sit underneath it and crawl in. And the AI was like, I don't know if we can do that. And then at one point, apparently they said, if you don't let me do this, I'm not doing the heist. And they were like, okay, we can find that. And then one of the staff was like, that is an error. It's not supposed to let you do that. Because realistically, despite how much these NPCs can say, they are still confined by the restrictions that humans have set in place for the game. There's only so many ways you can
it's
do
not
something.
Scribble
notes. No, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So even if we have all of this dynamic conversation that you can have with these AI NPCs, realistically, it still does not give you entire creative freedom to do whatever you want, because there are restrictions in place in the game already.
Unless this, in more years' time, implement like AI on the fly development, where when you say, I want a big box, then the game in the background is creating the assets and code required for you to animate yourself.
As the game size balloons massively.
And your PlayStation 5 is going,
told you should have got the Pro.
But yeah, I think from a completely like technical perspective, obviously it's an interesting concept that these AI will, like, you can talk to it and it will respond directly to what you say. However, it's still limited in so many ways, and it's never gonna, like, you're never gonna have this full creative freedom. You're never gonna be able to say anything and have it respond. It's always going to have to try and bring you back to what the game's about, which is another situation where it's like, yeah, I mean, it's cool that you can say anything and it will respond to you, but also like, do you want that? Like, do you want to be able to say anything stupid and then eventually have to do what it wants you to do anyway?
Yeah.
Like, why not just give you some parameters and be like, which one do you want to do? Like, this is how the game works.
The whole sort of VR issue that a lot of people have, where it's, yeah, the technology is amazing. Like, the motion controls, incredible. People love the Wii. But are you really going to want to come home after a day of work and have to put in a considerable amount of effort to sort of channel your experience with this game? Or do you want it to just, do you want to just do the physical equivalent of slumping down on the sofa and not waggling your arms about? Yeah.
They'll have to be careful with how they design it in terms of, you know, you can have a puzzle in a video game in a room where for ages you might not notice that little ledge that you're supposed to, that's where you get started. Climb that ledge first and then you do your jumping puzzle. If similar stuff is implemented in a conversation now where it's like, what do you think we should do for this heist? And you're like, I don't know. I don't see how we can get through that front door. What do we do? And you're just stuck and don't know what to say. Because, you know, in another game, it would there would be a dialogue tree saying, I think we should go through this door. I think we should go down through the roof or whatever. But, you know, you might get painted into some corners here where you're like, I don't know. What? I don't know.
Well, this is another thing. I mean, this is a bit of a silly example, but my mom will never play a game, like a board game or any other kind of game, if she has to be the one that is like coming up with an idea. Mm-hmm. She'd much rather be like told how to play the game and play the game and the game's like has set rules and set things you can do. And there's lots of people that are like, oh yeah, I love playing games, but I don't want to have to make the decisions. Like, I don't want to have to think of something on the spot and come up with something. Yeah. And that's like a lot of people's opinions is that the games are great because they are made for me and I am experiencing it as I want to rather than coming up with it myself.
Active participation like that also requires you to have an understanding of the game's rules and structures that itself would take you out of the experience. Yeah. Like you would need to, like, if you just started a game and it asked you, how do you want to solve this heist? And you're like, oh, bloody hell, I don't know. I don't know how this game works. What can I do? Can we go in a giant blimp?
Yeah.
It's like, no. No, you can't. I'm like, okay, so I can't go in a giant blimp. Realistically, I'm going to have to use these maybe 4-5 max approaches to doing this heist. And just the knowledge, possessing the knowledge of those 5 different ways kind of takes away a bit of the magic.
It may as well be a 5-option dialogue tree at that point. Pretty much. Yeah. I guess it also raises various like issues with accessibility as well. You know, I would like to think that any game that implements this would probably make it optional. But if not, and you do have to speak to your AI, you know, other characters in the game, then that's going to be difficult for certain gamers.
Yeah, if you're deaf and you can't speak, how are you going to play the game?
Mm-hmm. The technology is unbelievable, like seriously, seriously impressive. I'm struggling to think of the environment where it would be useful.
Yes.
Yeah, it like would be better than the current.
Exactly, because ultimately when it comes down to it, its implementation in games is just going to cut costs, cut jobs and cut corners. That's literally what it's for. Yeah, it's cool, but is it going to improve the experience? And if it does improve the experience, is it worth it at the cost of the human element that goes into making these games? Because even when you try and, I'm trying to think of like a place where this could fit, like a call center or a receptionist at a GP, people are still going to want to talk to a person who can make things happen. I'm not really sure what the end goal with, as cool as it is with this technology, actually is.
Like, well, they don't even know. They've said like they're not thinking about putting it in games. Mm. I mean, obviously that's from like a purely like, oh, you know, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But like they don't have this stuff made up for a specific game in mind because like you say, it would be so hard to actually implement this in a game and make it work well.
I agree with myself because you just said I said that. No. Yes, well, great point. it would also I think create some really interesting social something to observe socially, like how people interact with these things, because people are going to be horrible to them. Some of them are going to be really polite to them.
Yeah.
Very few people are gonna, as it said in the article, like actually role play.
Yeah.
Like very few people are I wouldn't be comfortable pretending to be Commander Shepard, for example. And much like you, Peter, back in the day when I first played through Mass Effect 2 and 3, I bloody loved those games, and I loved going back to the ship and being able to go around the ship and talk to the people. They had new things to say after each mission. Mm. If there was generative AI conversation, theoretically, those conversations could be endless. And we could see, in extreme examples, people still checking in on their crew months, mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. after the fact, and like building this sort of strange relationship.
Parasocial relationship.
Exactly, with these, with this AI. And of course, we shouldn't forget to mention that using AI in this manner would necessitate AI voice acting as well. Mm-hmm. So that would be another slightly very problematic aspect. I have a quote here on it that I thought was really interesting. It's a tweet from video game industry and culture researcher Brendan, how would you pronounce that? K-E-O-G-H?
K-E-O.
Keo.
Keo. There was actually someone at my school whose surname was Keo.
Okay, I don't believe you, but I'll trust you this time. Brendan Keo, who said, "The idea of AI creating realistic NPCs is based on a false myth that video games are worlds as opposed to media texts created by people to express ideas and tell stories. Mm. Why would I want to listen to dialogue nobody wrote?" Which I think is a great point.
Mm. Yes.
Especially as we, as technology keeps moving forwards and video games strive to be more and more realistic and create these expansive worlds, and they've got streams and ecosystems, and you know, everyone's got their routines, and maybe they're AI driven, so you can say anything to them. And it's like, yeah, but is that actually the goal of what games are? Surely they should be, as you said, like a product that's created for someone to experience a story and go on a journey from start to finish. Not all games, of course, but I thought that was an interesting perspective from Brendan. Mm.
No, I agree with. I think that's a really good point. And I think that, like, we've said it before when it comes to AI, but I feel like everyone who champions AI and is like, oh, this is going to change gaming, seems to like miss out on what I think makes gaming so good, which is the human element of telling stories. Yeah. We are a species that has been telling stories for thousands of years. And why would we let a robot tell the story when we are so ingrained in, like, what's the next story? What other story can we tell? And I think it just removes so much of the human element that even if this does cut costs and it works well and these AIs will talk to you like they are a person, it still removes the human element of it so much. You've got no writers, no voice actors, no like vocal producers, no people in the recording booth. There's so many people that would lose out on these jobs, and also so much humanity that's stripped away from it, that it is just, it's just like bland, and it doesn't matter how well it would work. You still lose so much of the humanity behind games with things like this, which I think is scary.
Yeah.
Shame.
To play devil's advocate, there's definitely...
Sorry, what?
Devil's avocado, sorry.
Thank you.
There are definitely some uses for this. Like, we already have things like mental health apps where you can, at the moment, I think they're generally text-based. Like, it's like being in a chat with someone. You can speak to, you know, a bot and tell it how you're feeling. It can like signpost you towards stuff. And, you know, being able to perhaps speak to a voice or a character might help some people. But then again, as we said, with kind of alluded to with the Mass Effect example, it's a slippery slope at that point. Do people just become even more kind of reclusive if they're already struggling socially, and then they seek out some help for that by speaking to an AI bot? Who, I'm pretty sure there was a Black Mirror episode
Wasn't there a weird news that we read like a few months ago about a guy who married AI girlfriend
His AI girlfriend got like possessive of him, and his real girlfriend was starting
like,
to,
you need to
get a bit worried
AI
about
girlfriend
it.
Down.
Yeah,
really strange.
And you know, you could potentially find people just latching onto these characters, whether they're video game characters or like self-help apps or anything like that, and just becoming a bit obsessed. And you know, it could open up a whole new branch of mental health issues that, you know, that future man has to deal with. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's...
The white man, though, because we don't want to remove him from the situation.
No, he's always got to be the hero.
Yeah, I hope my...
And the victim.
AI friend is white and male.
Yeah,
otherwise.
And not weak. Yeah, I hope that weak. He tries to kill me.
I hope he wants to kill everyone. Never forgive anybody or try to be better.
Never forgive, never forget.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're a way off this ever happening, if indeed it does happen. But you bet your bottom dollar there's going to be some high-profile studio. I mean, there'll be some steam shovel crap that has this built in that won't be very good. But there will be a high-profile studio at some point that includes AI in their game in a manner that is really jarring and no one likes it. Mm-hmm. Because
it'll
even
be Ubisoft.
It may well be Ubisoft. Because even if you can't really recognize the AI writing in a game, like if there is any, even if it's not there, if you have the knowledge that it is in there, that cost, like the human cost in terms of job, like this could have been written by someone, that will always loom over the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will always think of that when I'm playing a game that I know has AI stuff in it. And that will ruin the experience for me.
Absolutely.
In a sense. So there we are. Let us know what you think of everything we discussed today in a polite and respectful manner in the comments below. Thank you so much for listening and watching. We've got a few places around the internet that you can find us. Peter's going to start by telling you two of them.
You can find us on youtube.com and twitch.tv, both /TeamTripleJump. All of our videos go out on YouTube and all of our streams happen over on Twitch. And if you have got Amazon Prime and you are paying for that right now, part of the bundle that you are paying for includes a Twitch sub.
Wow.
You can redeem that against us and you get all the benefits of being a normal sub, but you're not paying anything extra.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, on all of which we are at Team Triple Jump, and patreon.com/Team Triple Jump if you'd like to support us and get lots of rewards for doing so.
TripleJump.map is our website. That's where you can find links to everything that we do. And why not leave us a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, and we'd really appreciate it if you can. Thank you very much. Look after yourselves, everyone. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.